In reading the Word and reading about the apostles and things, doesn't it encourage you as you look at when they truly understood and came and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, how they truly gave no thought about their circumstances, but gave thought only to about their witness? And I get encouraged by that a lot. And because it's a witness that I want to be. Not that I come near close to being as good a witness as Paul or Peter or any of them, but we can still be that positive witness in life. You know, in the very end of Acts, we read a part where Paul was being held prisoner, waiting to go meet his fate. And probably some would take a look at that and say, man, this is a real downer in my life. But Paul did not look at it that way. Paul treated it and acted differently, even though he was considered a prisoner and treated like a prisoner. But yet, God freed him up, even as a prisoner, to do things to glorify God and to be a witness to his name. And I think it's something that we can learn from. As I thought about the Apostle Paul, it reminded me of a man by the name of Watchman Nee. Anybody hear of him? He was a man just like that. And I mean, they did their best to get rid of him and put him in the deepest, darkest part of prison. And he would slip notes to others, and he would praise and glorify God to the guards and stuff. He won more people in prison. It was remarkable until one day he just disappeared. Probably they had enough of their folks being converted by him, and so they just did away with him. But what a testimony. What a life. Paul was a lot like that. And maybe Watchman Nee kind of took his calling card from how Paul responded, even as he was in prison. So I want to take a look here, and I want to just share three simple things that I see that Paul, how he responded, even as a prisoner. And I think we could put a question mark after prisoner, because God opened the door, even under lock and key, so to speak. It did not stop Paul from being and doing what he knew God wanted him to do. So in verse 30, and I just want to look at verses 30 and 31. It says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. There's a lot being said in those two very simple verses about Paul's ministry while under prison guard. The first thing that I want us to take a look at as we look at verse 30 is we notice that he had his own hired house. So how that really come about, I have no clue. But he had his own place. He had hired his own people. He rented the house, however that was. So evidently he was working outside doing something. But yet he was still a prisoner of the state. But yet God freed him to be able to move freely. God never will restrict us in a place to where we cannot talk about his son, Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. No matter what the circumstances is, it may be tough, but he will always show us a way to be a witness. And I love that thought. I do. So as we see that in this, Paul made himself available. Number one, he made himself available. He invited anybody into his house that he could to teach and to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out and he talked to those on the streets. He continued to do just as he had done before he became a prisoner. Sounds like somebody else I know. Sounds like the prophet Daniel when he was to be restricted from praying after Nebuchadnezzar had fallen victim to the empire under Darius, the Medo-Persian Empire. And so, but Daniel just continued on to do what he did, and look at how God protected him. And even so, we should be martyred for the name of Jesus, and many are. Isn't that okay? I mean, we know where we're going to go. We know the avenue to which we're going to get there. And so whatever happens to us physically can't hurt or diminish our spiritual life and the end result of our life. Nothing can diminish that. But the key here that I want us to look at is Paul made himself available to anybody that he could to talk to Jesus about to them. We have to learn to do that. We have to be available to people too. It's not good enough to say that we're too busy to do the Lord's work, because we're not. Never. Even if we have a full-time job, we're never too busy. God plants people in our lives. He plants people in our paths that He desires and wants us to share with of the wonderful hope that we have. Don't every one of us have hope here tonight? Absolutely. And I'm not talking about we hope something's going to happen, but the confidence to know that God's going to deliver. He's going to deliver on His actions. And I can be confident in that because every time He has delivered on His promises and His word. Those that have been passed, those that are being fulfilled right now, and those that are going to happen in the future. I trust in God's word. We need to trust in that. Paul trusted in God's word, regardless of whether he was a prisoner or not. And he had been in hard lockdown too. He knew what that was like. He'd been beaten, shipwrecked. Just about anything that could happen to somebody happened to him. But yet he never feigned from being a witness and sharing and telling people about Jesus. That meant he was available to anybody that he could share with. And the question that I ask of us, are we available? Do we really make ourselves available? Are we so busy and so caught up in the world that we can't take time for a lost soul that's looking for hope in a world that they can't find in the end, that's looking for love, that's looking for answers? You see, you may not know it or not, but we have the answer. You and I, have the answer to eternal life. And that answer is Jesus Christ. We have been chosen as God's instruments in this world to share that word, to give that word. I liked in class that young man said when we were talking about gifts, he sees his gift as the gift of evangelism. That's simply just a big fancy word for telling people about Jesus Christ. We don't need to use big words. We need more action than less words. And Paul demonstrated that. The moment he met Christ on the road, his life changed forever. When you met Christ on your road, didn't your life change forever? Didn't your desires and your wants and the way you thought and the way you talked and the way you acted, didn't that change forever? It should have. Because Jesus never leaves anything he touched the same. We're new creatures, new creations, every one of us. Yeah, we still live in the carcass. Because of it, we still have to deal with temptations. We still have to deal with other things in our life. But so did they. We're no different than they, and they were no different than Jesus. And neither are we. So I'm saying, when we're out in this world, look for the opportunity to allow yourself to be available to somebody. And God will bring that. You've heard me say this before. I challenge you to pray that God send someone into your path. If you pray, He will. And we have to see that and act upon it. So, first of all, he was available, and are we available? The second thing that I've seen in here, in verse 31, it says that he was active. He was able in his condition to preach and to teach the word of God, teach the truth. We should all be prepared. The Bible says we need to be prepared in season and out of season. And that's just not for preachers, okay? That's for witnesses of the word of God, of the truth of God. We need to be active in this. Paul took every opportunity. We can't say that we don't have opportunity today. We can have that opportunity as Miss Jerry deals with Good News Clubs with children. In our Sunday school classes, we have an opportunity to learn, to take what we've learned out into the world and share with others. It isn't just a social gathering. That's only a small part of it. It's about preparing ourselves. That's why it's so important to study and to fellowship and to read your lessons and to prepare yourself. Not just expect to come in and be able to just all of a sudden grasp everything that's going on in the class, because it's just not going to happen. We have to prepare ourselves. God expects that of his people, that we need to study to show ourselves approved workmen for our Lord. Do we do that? Are we prepared to be active as Paul was? He didn't let being a prisoner stop his activity. He went around and continued to do what he had done. Now, as I said before, I believe that all had to do with God's hand. He opened up that door, even in prison, for him to continue the work that he was doing. Yes, one day he would stand and he would give his life for the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, he would. But until then, God used him mightily. Why do we think God can't use us mightily? It's like we think we're second-class Christian citizens. Just because we don't have our names in the Bible, or just because we're not as prominent and everybody worldwide knows who they are and they don't know who we are, God still uses you. Every believer he uses. And he wants us to be active in his work, whatever that work is. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot more work that's so much more important outside these doors than within them. This is where we get charged up. This is where we get encouraged. This is where we fellowship. This is where we build relationships in Jesus Christ. This is where we do that. The church wasn't designed to become a non-believing home of fellowship. It's for like believers. That's what the church is. And we get charged up and we get active in God's word. We don't mind getting active in all kinds of other things. Does God want us not to enjoy life? Of course not. But that greatest enjoyment of life comes through him, not through the everyday pleasures that we might think are what bring us happiness. Wouldn't we rather have joy in the Spirit of God than happiness because of the circumstances around us? That's what the Bible says. Joy comes from the Spirit of God, and it's not dependent upon our circumstances. Paul took the worst of circumstances and still experienced joy. Times that he abounded in, times that he was a pauper in. He was able to be in both. In our society today, in our Christian world today, if a Christian, according to many, is just making ends meet, then they're not doing it right. And I disagree with that. Just because we struggle, just because sometimes the world, we're not where it is to be on the top, that's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be forging ahead in spiritual matters. God has always promised, again, to provide our needs. And sometimes, guess what? He provides our needs through one another, through each other. We are a family, the family of God, just like we sang about this morning. And we need to live like a family and treat each other like a family. You know, we learned that anybody that's lived this life any length of time knows that everybody has different personalities. And some of them are like 80 grit sandpaper. We know that. But you know what? I wonder how God looks down upon us and looks at us and says, you know, they're more like 20 grit sandpaper. But does he give up hope on us? No. Does he just put us aside? No. He continues to work and be active in our life so that we can be active in his work. How awesome that is. Sometimes we just need an attitude adjustment. We really do. And if we would try to understand as God understands us and us understand others, we'd be a lot more pleasant to each other. Paul, the apostles, they had times of conflict too. But they were on the same page together. Their personalities were so different. Paul and Peter and James. Oh man, you couldn't get three different guys together in the same room. You would have think they needed to hand out boxing gloves. But you know what? God changes our hearts, our attitudes, and our spirits. Are we alive? Are we alive in Jesus tonight? We should be active because we're alive. If we've got breath, we've got purpose. If we're still breathing and walking, then God has still in his will, his plan for each and every one of us. And guess what? Age is no respecter of persons. None whatsoever. God will use us right where we are. We need to quit living in the past. What I used to be able to do. What I used to do for the Lord, I can't do anymore. Well, now, we're all going to get there someday. We all will. You know? Those who sang just perfect on key. As we get older, it sometimes doesn't work so well. You know, I get up here and I used to sing a whole lot better than I used to, and I feel like a squawking chicken. You know, my throat tightens up and itches, and I cough and hack and carry on. You know, but that's okay, because my greatest joy is to preach and teach God's word. That's what I love doing the best. And I love people. And I want to be active in people's lives. And where God has me, I need to be active in your life so you can get out there and be active in other lives. And that is absolutely crucial. So as we look at this, we need to ask the question, how active am I in the work of God? Just like Paul. He was a prisoner, but yet he stayed active in God's work and never gave in to the world or to the flesh or to the circumstances to which we are living. That was the second thing. So we see that he was available. He was always available to share and to give God's word. Always available. Secondly, he was always active. Thirdly, he was always assured. Look at what he says here in the last part of verse 31. He says that preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. He was assured. He had confidence to know that what he was doing was to bring glory to God through God's Son, Jesus Christ. He had confidence in that. We need to have that confidence too. It's so hard sometimes in this world to have any confidence when it comes to Christianity because of the chaos that is in Christianity in and of itself, or should I say religion. You know that I do not believe that religion is Christianity. James says that religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans. In other words, being active and doing something out in the world. That's what he says it is. That's what we need to be about doing as best we can. We may not have the resources of a megachurch, but you know what? God enables us to do exactly what he calls us to do. He enables our lives to be able to do exactly what he's leading us to do and what he's wanting us to do. But we have to go down the road. We can't just sit back and expect it to just happen. We can't say, okay, Word, let just enter my head. Give me all that I need to know. No, we need to look into the Word. We need to pray in the Word. We need to read and study God's Word. It's not just going to fall from heaven. But that's where religion is today. All of this stuff going on. Let's get back to the roots of our faith. How many times have we heard the apostles say that to fellow brothers and sisters as they started to get wary down the road and get kind of kitty-cornered off in some obscure direction? It would lead them back to the truth and say, you know what? You have exactly the Word that's going to deliver us. We need to stay true with the Word of God. And their Word was the Old Testament because they didn't have the New Testament. We've been truly blessed because we've got both Testaments. And both of them teach the same thing. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about our salvation. It's all about his calling on our lives to serve him. That's what we're called to do. Do you have confidence in that? Think about it for a minute. We need to ask that question. Do we have confidence like Paul demonstrated? He was absolutely assured. I believe, first of all, his confidence was to know that Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Spirit, would never leave him or forsake him. Number one. He was never alone. That is still true for every believer today. He is with us. And he doesn't ever leave us or forsake us. If we feel like he's gone, it's not that he has left us. It's we have left him. And when we have, it's time to get down on our knees and say, God, forgive me and help get me back under the cross where I belong. Yeah. He was confident and assured that Jesus would never leave him. He was also confident and assured that one day his body would be glorified and he would be taken to heaven and live there in the presence of God for all eternity. He was confident of that. Are we confident of that tonight? If we're not, we need to be. As we've all learned through many of us going to services of those that we've loved in time past, we know that everybody, just like the scripture says, there is an appointed time for every person to die. Then comes the judgment, is what scripture says. Are we prepared when judgment comes? I know that many times in services for those who have died, that it is not popular to preach the Word of God of salvation to the crowd. And it does not matter. In all the services I've done, I've always had somebody walk out. And that's too bad because they needed to hear the Word of God. Because I don't want to tiptoe through the tulips. I don't want to give them a hope that Scripture doesn't give them outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want them to think that just by being good or just that their good works outweigh their bad works that they're got a streetcar ride into heaven, because they don't. We cannot be good enough to get there. Only through Jesus Christ and His blood, can we get there? It's the only way. Are we confident in that? Are we assured of that? And you know, when God places us in a place, there will be nobody to stand against us. See, nobody stood against Paul as he preached and as he taught. I mean, Jesus Christ on the cross as he died impacted the life of one of those soldiers standing underneath when he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." Are we making that kind of an impact in this world? We're not if we're not available. We're not if we're not active. And we're not if we're not confident. Three things vital to our presence and work. Too many times we take a look at the work in which we do to survive in this world as the most important work. It's not. As a believer, the most important work is the work that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what God has said. That's what He has brought us into His kingdom for. To work and to share the truth with others. And you want to know why? Simply so that they can have the same hope that we do. The same hope. Same confidence. The same trust. You know, enabled to do this, it reminds me of the verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That brings us to the place of our availability. Do we trust God by making us available, no matter what our circumstances and situation? Do we trust God as we actively work in this world that is working so hard against the truth? Do we trust God as our confidence continues to build? Because not trusting God, our confidence will not build. He loves us. He loves each and every one of us as His people. And He loves the lost. But the lost will be lost unless the people of God get out and share the word of truth with them. And there are only two destinations, heaven and hell. There's nothing else. There's no in between. There's no holding places. You can't pray or pay anybody out of some non-existent place. When we die, the decision has been made. That's why we have to know now. And the Bible says, my Bible says, that we are known by our fruits. We're known by what we do. And there's no better way to do that than be available, active, and assured. Paul is an example. Peter is an example. Just like we're studying on Wednesday nights, I love the book of Peter. He kind of reminds me of me. Because he always spoke before he thought most of the time. And so I like seeing how God transformed him. Amen. Just like Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, we don't conform to this world, but we have a transforming action by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our hearts, and our minds. Simply said, we're not the same people. We're new. Let's take this newness, no matter how long we've had it. We can have been saved for 30 years, and there are those that have never been active, that have never been available, and have never been assured in the 30-year walk of their life. And that, my friend, saddens my heart. So let's take this good news to our families. Let's take this good news to our church family. Let's take this good news outside of these doors and let's share the word of hope in the faith and the trust in the only one who can save, And his name's Jesus Christ.